is. And I've been having problems with my microphone this morning. So if it goofs around too much, I'm just going to take it off and use my dainty little voice. So can you guys all hear me back there? Can you hear me on the sound or just here? Because I can't. Just me. All right. No, it's not on. All right. It is on? Okay, very good. If it's not, somebody tell me that it's not on. All right? And that way I can just shout. Because I don't want to shout with it on. Because, anyway, it's good to see you guys. Thank you for being here. It's great to have you here. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to where we're going today. The last song, I just got to say, before I do that, we're going to have a word of prayer before we start, if that's okay. I just want to remind us that, and just those of you guys that don't know, Pastor Ronnie and Danelle's mom is not doing well. They're kind of thinking maybe this week sometime she will die. And I want us to remember, oh, Danelle, sorry about that. Really great lady. But what's really cool about this is I do a lot of funerals. And I do a lot of funerals sometimes for people that don't know Christ as their Savior. And there's such a emptiness at a funeral like that. Danelle's mom is ready to go. She's actually asking to go be with the Lord. So when she dies, there'll be the missing, there'll be the hurt, there'll be the we miss you. But the joy, knowing where she's going to spend eternity because of what Jesus Christ did for us. That goes so well with what we're going to be talking about today with this whole 12-step witnessing program. Because we literally have a message that the world needs to hear. They don't all know they need to hear it. I didn't know I needed to hear it before I found out what Jesus Christ did for me. But this world, literally, people are passing out of this world and dying. I know another person that may die this week. You know, and obviously there's going to be thousands of people that die this week. But they need to hear the message that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried and he rose again and he offers me salvation. I'm not a perfect person, but he offers us salvation. So that's why we're going through this seminar-like training for these last couple weeks and the next couple. So I just want to pray and I just want to invite God to be here because I feel that today's message is the main event in this whole series that we've been doing. We've been winding up to here, and now the next couple of weeks we're going to wind down from here. But this is the main event, and I know for a fact that this is, you know, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are an amazing God. Please use every single one of us here, please speak. I've already asked and expelled Satan, the demonic forces from this room. God, please, through your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Because I know that we want to share this message. That every single person here, for the most part, wants to be able to share the main event of why you died, why you were buried, why you rose again. I pray for Danelle and her family and the grandkids. You might really comfort them through this time and give them the peace to know that without a doubt that their mom is going to spend eternity with you. You're a great God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that bother me about funerals, and I've heard piles of people do this, and at funerals you always say, well, they're in a better place, or they're finally at rest and they're finally at peace. And I sit there sometimes and I think, they're not. And I don't tell the family that, okay? Well, really, that's just, but they're really not. And what we're going to be talking about today is how you can cross over from death to life and how you can share that with somebody. And I feel really bad when people try to exaggerate the life of a person to make them good enough that maybe they could get to heaven, because that's just sad, but our goodness doesn't get us there. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. We've been talking about 12 steps to peace with God, kind of like a witness program. And I really appreciate some of the stories I've been hearing. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I am going to go over them because we have people here that haven't been here. Step one is to pray for unsaved people. Unsaved people, I just want you to understand, unsaved people aren't nasty people and we're good people. No, we were all born sinful. We are all lost, every single one of us. I'm as bad as every other. We are just lost. Every one of us is born sinful and separated from God. So an unsaved person, you would just say, is someone that's separated from God, like I used to be. So we need to pray for these people. Why? Because Satan does not want to lose them. Satan is the ruler of this evil world system. And even though they're not like scary Halloween-y costume type people in their hearts, they are just lost. They're great people. They are lost. And Satan has a grip on them, and they don't even know it, the same way I don't even know it, that I didn't know it. And Satan will not want to lose them and will not want to give them up to a life with Jesus Christ. And so we have to be really careful. We need to pray because this is spiritual warfare. This isn't a change of person's habits or change the good things in their life. This changes their eternal destiny from a life headed towards when they die on this earth, separation from God, to a life with God. We need to pray because we are fighting against the demonic forces in this world. The second thing, so that's prayer needs to be bathed in all this stuff. The next one is protocol, understanding witnessing protocol. Share Jesus Christ the way you would want someone to share it to you. You're a sinner and going to hell, Faith, and I've told you this how many times? Who wants to have a finger pointed at him? She's not, I'm just kidding, all right? But who wants to have a finger pointed at them? Some Christians are so negative and nasty in the way they share life-changing truth that I'd say, fooey with you. I've, as a Christian, had people tell me like that. And I say, get away from me, Satan, you know? And it's like, oh, yuck, you know? But understand witnessing. Be courteous. Live your life the way that your light shines, that they're attracted to your message and not say, well, that's not how I see you at work. Step three is knowing when they're ready to talk or ready to hear. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to when God says, now's the time to share me. Now's the time to share. There's sometimes it's not appropriate to share the message of Jesus Christ. There's sometimes it is. Know when that is. Be asking God. Step four is ends we talked about. Ends are really important. You know, and the Bible talks about it, that God may open a message. And I think the ends, getting started is the hardest part. That's why we said what you need to do is think about how you can enter into a gospel presentation, enter into your testimony with someone. You just don't walk up to someone and say, let me share my testimony with you. It's like, no, you know, just what are they, is there someone in their life about to die? When someone's about to die, people are thinking, what? That's why I love being a pastor. I used to get nervous at funerals. I can't wait. I wish more people would die so I could do their funerals. No, because I get a chance to share the message of Jesus Christ, because everybody is sitting there thinking, well, wonder where they went. I wonder, is there life after death? A lot of people have these conversations, listen for those things, and say, wow, that is, what do you think about life? Is there life after death? And they say, what do you think? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'll tell you what I believe, and that's an in. Or someone's having hard times, or they're afraid, or they got fear in their life, or there's major injuries, or someone in the hospital, or cancer, or anything like this. I think the hardest part is just getting started. So in is what I said. Ends are kind of like the line in the sand where you draw the line and you're over here saying, okay, God, I'm praying and I'm listening for you and I'm looking for a chance to share Christ. And when someone gives you an in, it's like, okay, I could share the gospel. I could, part of my testimony, I can relate to them. It's stepping over that line, hugely important. Then we get into the preparation. And that's one of the things we talked about, having a witnessing pattern, all right? A witnessing pattern is like, wow, you step over the line because someone said something about being afraid, or someone said something about, it just seems like everything I do in life just doesn't amount to anything. I keep buying stuff. It doesn't fulfill me, you know, or whatever they're saying, or oh, I'm so afraid of death, and I'm afraid of where my parents are going to go, or something like that. And you step across the line, and you have a pattern to witness. You don't have to think, oh, what am I going to do, you know? You have a pattern to witness. I look at my life, and I think there's all kinds of, remember the, sharing your testimony. Bob talked about last week about sharing your testimony. You have different points in your story, all right? Sharing your testimony isn't, let me tell you about my life. When I was three, you know, I finally got weaned, and then you don't need to bring that into it, all right? And then I did this, and then when I was six, I did this, and then I had a bunny, and then I, you know, come on! It's like, no! just get the points of your testimony, the major changes in your life. I was a sinner. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I did this, and it made a big difference. I did this, and I made this choice, and it was a really lousy choice. And I realized that God loves me anyway, and so it put me on this trajectory, and you're walking through the points. So when you have a chance to share Jesus Christ, you don't want to share all your points, just the ones that are necessary, the ones that people can relate to, the person you're talking to. And you're telling them about this. And I don't know, just, so you have these things figured out ahead of time. And I think we sent you home last week, right? And said, I want you to, and some of you guys say, I don't have a testimony. You do have a testimony. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we've never thought through it. Just think through it. Hopefully you will have thought through some of those things. And a couple things about your testimony. We talked about sharing your testimony. Last week was long, but for the most that I understand, most of the time when I share my testimony, except if I'm asked to up front or in a group of people, it's I only have like 2 minutes before the person's saying, hum, da, da, look at the time, and off they go. Learn to share the point in 2 minutes. Learn to share your story in 2 minutes or less. Because that's, now, if they open the door a little bit farther and say, I don't understand one thing. Now, when you were a junior in high school, what is it that you did? Then you can go a little bit longer. They'll open up the door a little bit farther. But be courteous of their time, okay? So you share, just learn to share your testimony in a very short period of time. We talked last week, Bob talked about this, it's a story of what God did for you. Salvation, name the little steps, and what God's doing in your life now. But here's a couple things I want to reemphasize. If you aren't excited, all right, if you aren't excited, I mean, who's going to buy something? You know, well, I accepted the Lord when I was like 5, and then I started going to church. Well, I was going to church before that, but I learned stuff there, and it's like, yeah, I give every Sunday morning to church. And what in the world? What in the world? I got to go listen to this pastor preach stuff. We're not selling anything. But if that's all that change means to you in your life, and if you never get excited about any football games or kids' sports, if you never get excited about gifts, then talk like that. But if you get excited about important things, let people see that it means something to you. Make it mean something to you. And maybe that's why we don't understand the fullness of Christ, is because we're never sharing what Vicky talked about. We're never sharing about what God did for us. So learn what God did for you. And when you really think, that's the day or that's the time in my life I cross from death to life, and I know for a fact that whatever happens to me now, I will spend eternity with God forever. Not because I'm good, but because God was so gracious. And not only that, He started emptying the baggage out of my life. He's cleaned up my life in a lot of different ways. I didn't have to get perfect before I came to know Christ. And I mean, that's exciting stuff. So tell your face it's exciting. All right? Smile a little bit when you do it. This is greater news than anything in the world. And I don't think we all recognize that now, but the moment you'll die, you'll understand. You'll understand the choice you made and how impactful that was in your life. It's so cool. You know, here, I really think, I've told you this before, I really think a lot of you guys want to share the gospel with somebody. I really believe you want to share your testimony with people. I think you have an amazing story. You got to learn your story. You got to review it, because if you're like me, I was born in 1958. I'm 60 years old. And I know you all didn't tell each other the last numbers on your, when Vicky had you standing there. It's like, I am curious, okay, because I like to know people older than me or whatever. But I don't even know what you're going to say. What was I saying? I got distracted. That's the things you shouldn't do when you're, what's that? Yeah, learn your story. Learn your story so you can, I don't remember. All right, let's just go. Let's just move on along, all right. I'm doing them things you're not supposed to do when you're like, don't get off trail, your little bunny trail thingy. I think if you understand, when I stop and think about what God has done for me and what He's kept me from doing and what He saved me from and what He saved me out of and the things that I did even as a believer in Jesus Christ that got me into trouble and that God continually loved me, it's just amazing. So listen, be excited about your story. One other thing, and don't pre- preach when you're sharing your testimony. Don't preach. Your testimony is about who? Me. Yours isn't about me. It's me. When I'm sharing my story with somebody, it's my story. Don't say, you know what? Don't go from, yeah, I know when I was a junior in high school, I was trying to do this, and I see that other people are trying to do that too, and you're going, no. Keep me, about me. Nobody can be offended when you're talking about your story, your life. I did this, and I realized this, and I was a sinner, and I realized I was separated from God, and Jesus died for me. Your story should be about you. Now, we'll cross over in a minute into the gospel, but it should be about you. Keep it I, never you did this, you did this. This is about me. I want to read my story, it's interesting. Well, not really interesting, but I was saved. If I was to do my testimony in a real short period of time, I was saved when I was about 5 or 6 years old. It was in a Gnu's club in my mom and dad's house. All my neighborhood friends were there, so I waited till everybody went home, and they were talking about heaven and hell. And I asked Mom, I said, I don't want to go to hell. And we sat in the stairway in between our living room, our dining room, and she told me how I could be saved. So I asked Jesus at the age of 5 to come into my life, or 4. I don't even remember when it was, but I remember sitting there, and I crossed over from death to life that day. And then I grew up in a Christian home, went to Christian school, then went to public school later on. And in my junior year in high school, I found myself wondering, what in the world is God about anyway? And why? I've always tried to be good. I went to church all the time. I always tried to do all these good stuff. I talked to people. I did the right stuff. I learned the verses. But I still had something missing inside of my life. I was just, at the end of the day, I'd be laying in bed, and some nights I would cry and say, I don't even know if this God stuff is true. I know I accept it. I don't know if it's true, and I have no idea. And I was frustrated for 6 months in my life. Everybody expected me to be good. The church expected me to be good. So I was trying to live up to everybody's expectations. And I was just really, really frustrated. Went to church one time, and with my friends all sitting there, and they talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2, to give your body a living sacrifice to God. And I thought for the first time in my life, when I was young, I opened up the door of my heart. You know, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and opened up the door. I said, come on in. So Jesus came in my life, and I closed the door and locked it up. And I went about my life living for myself, you know, trying to find something satisfying. And the whole time Jesus is in my life going, hey, Bob, let me out, you know. And I just kept them up. And I went down. I went front at that service. I got down on my knees. And for the first time in my life, I said, God, here's my whole life. Here's my mind. Here's my body. I let him out of my heart. I chose to say, God, you're not my parents' religion. You're mine. I choose you for me. And I gave my life to God. I want to tell you something. I've had struggles throughout my life. I certainly haven't been perfect, but never once did I feel like I wasn't satisfied anymore. It filled an emptiness inside of my life. A lot of people look for that in drugs or alcohol. I look for it in sports and all kinds of different things, you know, and that changed my life. That's really my testimony, and now what God's doing in my life, but I don't want to go there with you guys right now. And so I look for opportunities and ends with people that at different points in my life, some decisions I've made. Where can I tell them this kind of stuff? How can I get this into a conversation in a really short way? So share your testimony in a short period of time. I want you to listen to some of these biblical examples. I'm going to go through these really fast because I don't want to run out of time. John 9, 10 to 12 and verse 25. This is Jesus on the Sabbath day. And Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees called this man in, and it says, we talked about this before, they ask him in John 9, 10, how were your eyes opened, they ask. And he replied, now listen, this is the man that just met Jesus Christ for the first time. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. That's his testimony. In two sentences, or whatever that is, that's his testimony. Every one of us at least has a testimony. Like, it may not be like, oh, I was blind, now I can see. Anyway, they said, where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. That's his testimony. That's his story. Didn't share the gospel, but that's his story. They asked him, how comes you can see? And that was his end. And he said, here's my story. As short as it may be, but he crossed that line. This is the story. In Acts 4, 7 to 13, Peter and John, they just healed lame beggar. And they healed him. And that's when they said, you know, silver and gold, I don't have any, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. And they had Peter and John brought before the Sanhedrin. This is the religious guys. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power, what name did you do this? This is their inn, even though I have an LLN, whatever that is, or, oh, somebody was nice to me. Thank you. They fixed it for me. Okay, this is their inn, okay? They ask him a question. By what power, by what name did you heal this guy? And so then here we have his testimony with a story. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called into account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. Okay, that's his story. He said, if we're being called into account, this is what just happened. And at the end of it, he puts in some gospel. Not just my story, he switches over. And this is what we want to really talk about today, how to take it from your testimony into a gospel presentation. That's where it gets double scary, all right? Because as soon as you step across that line and have that in, it's, oh, what am I going to say? But if you know what you're going to say, if you have a plan ahead of time already, it takes a lot of the scariness out of it. If you know a gospel, you're going to go there, it takes a lot of the scariness out of it. Okay, and so he crosses over into this, they're asking how he's healed. Know this, you and all the people of Israel. It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name given among heaven, given to mankind, by which we must be saved. You see, I think he said it really fast because he was about to be silenced. And you don't have long, and so when we're talking about the gospel presentation and your testimony, nobody wants to stand there and hear this great, big, long, drawn-out, rabbit-trailed story. And, well, the story of the gospel starts out in Genesis, and there was nothing on earth. And then the first day, God said, you know, it's like, come on, let's get to the point of the scriptures. And I'll tell you that in a minute. He went right to the fact that there is salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name by which we must be saved. And they were so good at this. And even though they didn't say anything that you couldn't say, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know, one of the things I think they were mostly astonished about is that someone literally dared open their mouth and share Jesus Christ with them. Somebody cared enough to stand up and say, you know, Christians are, I find that most of us Christians are so ashamed that we're Christians. Now, we would never say that on Sunday morning. But when we're out in the world has us convinced that Christians are second-rate citizens, that we're not allowed to proselytize, which I kind of agree with that at work, because that's making disciples and preaching and teaching. But we are allowed to answer questions, and we are allowed to cross that line into a short, this is what I found, and it's because of Jesus Christ in my life. We are allowed to go that way, but most Christians in most of my life, I was ashamed to do that. Now, I'm not ashamed at all. Ever. I'm lying. It still is hard. But I'm a pastor. I know it is. It was hard before I was a pastor. It's hard now. It's not easy. And I think that one of the things that we could do is cross that line and be ready. Because planning what we're going to say is really, really important. Don't be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. Because why? Because it makes sense to everybody in this world. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Why would we be ashamed of the most important life-changing message in the world? So what we need to do, we need to start at the beginning and we need to say, what can I do to not be ashamed? Because I think most of us know it's truth. We believe it's truth, but we don't live like it's truth. What I'm asking is for us as a church to believe its truth and to live like its truth. Like we think we have a second-rate message to give to the world. They're preaching to us all the time about their religion, and we're just backing into a little hole somewhere. Where are the Christ followers that are standing up? I think some of the reason is because I'm not really sure what I'd share. We just haven't been looking for it. I found for a long time I wasn't looking for a way to share. I wasn't looking for ends. I thought it'd be nice to share Christ with somebody, but I thought it was a big preaching ceremony that I had to do. And I think what I want to do with this whole series is give you a little bit of confidence and courage to say, I could do that. I could do that. The best way into a gospel message is not just start preaching. It's through what God did for you. Why do you go to church? Well, I go to church and have something you're going to say in there. I just think it's cool. I think that's why when they saw the courage of Peter and John, it didn't say they became Christians, but they were amazed and recognized these men had been with Jesus. They're different than everybody else. These are religious people looking at them saying, that's amazing. These guys are unschooled, ordinary church people. And they're not ashamed. When we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it impacts people. And we say we're not ashamed, but we act as if we are. So many times I look at my life and I say, Bob, you stupid jerk. You should have said something. What is wrong with you? You know this is truth. Another story real quick. Paul at Jerusalem, mob trying to kill him. About noon, King Agrippa, he's talking to the king. He's being on trial. And as I was on the road, what he said, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me. This is Paul, used to be Saul, and my companions. We fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And it's hard. Is it hard for you to kick against the goats? That's a good response. We're not even going to get into that. Then Jesus asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles I'm sending you to and open their eyes. What happens here? Paul's telling a story. What was Paul's testimony? Anybody remember? He was riding to persecute Christians, right? God came in a bright light, shone, knocked him off his horse, and he was blind and stuff like that. He's just telling his story. Even Paul, the greatest wrote piles of the scripture, just told a story. Every time he stood on trial, he told his story. But what he started to do, you go from your story into a gospel presentation, and he did from there, it says, and from the power, and rescue from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins in place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, those in Jerusalem, Judea, the Gentiles. I preached to say should repent and turn to God and demonstrate the repentance by their deeds. And see, what he's done, he goes from his testimony, said this is what God sent me to do, and this is what I started to teach. And he went into the gospel, into there. Just a very simple that people should repent and turn to God, demonstrate, wasn't real deep, and he didn't have much longer because Festus interrupted him and said he's out of his mind and all that kind of stuff, but he shared the gospel, just started into the gospel, then God closed the door, that person walked away. Is it important that King Agrippa didn't listen the whole way through? No, it is for King Agrippa, but it's not important. Paul crossed over that line, and Paul did what God asked him to do. He opened the door, the question was asked, and he went, and he started to share. And he did what God asked him to do. He represented God. Now, he presents the gospel in less than 2 minutes. And here comes the difficult thing. If someone does give you an in, you walk across, and you're sharing the gospel because you care about that person, not because they're nasty, because you are nasty. And you still are sometimes. But you know the message of truth that I needed to hear, and people like me needed to hear, and the world needs to hear this message of truth that we always chicken out on. So we get the in, we walk across, and if you can take your testimony into a smooth gospel presentation, I don't mean smooth by like a smooth talker, okay? I mean by it's not like, now let me tell you about the gospel now that we got done talking about me. No, you don't have to go like that. Just a real quick sentence or two. And I love this. Peter at Pentecost, Acts 2:14. The Bible says, Peter stood up at Pentecost and says, God has raised, he talks about Jesus Christ, God has raised this Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from God the Father the promised Holy Spirit is poured out on you. Now we see and hear for David, and he does some other stuff. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. He shares his story. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. They knew what that means. Peter after he healed the beggar. He said, now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted. I'm talking really fast because I'm trying to get through this. Not that it's not important. I just want you to see. I want you to read some of these passages in the scripture when you study these guys. I want you to see that you know what their witnessing tool was to everybody they ran into? Their story and the gospel. Their story fading into the gospel. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the scriptures, saying the Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even the Jews. And then in Acts 4, Peter before the Sanhedrin, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called into account today for the act of kindness showed to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, this is his story, this is the end, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He just goes right into the gospel. That's only a few sentences. I'm saying, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have this amazing message, and we need to learn to say, this is what God did for me. This is why I'm not afraid of death. This is why I can mourn someone that dies differently than if they're going to hell. This is what God's done. This is why I'm not afraid to live in this world. This is why I'm not afraid to pick up hitchhikers. You know, if I die, I get to go to heaven anyway, which is way better than living on this earth. This is how I got rid of this baggage in my life. This is where I was. Now, this is what God did for me. Because God specializes in taking lost people like me. And he died for me. And he offered me a free gift of forgiveness. And I accepted that forgiveness. And now I don't carry that weight around anymore. See, that's into a small gospel presentation out of a testimony. So what's happening? You've been praying. You've been watching for ends. You've gotten your spiritual story down to its main point. And here we go. And this is what's highly important. This is the meat of all that we're talking about. The next step is to learn how to present the life-changing, future-altering, most important message ever told. How to change, how to present in a very, very short period of time while they're listening to you, because you won't have attention very long when you cross over into sharing the gospel at first. So you want to get the gospel in right up front. Not because you're selling anything, please believe me, but because you care about them. The same way someone cared about you and wants to share the truth. So you have a minute or two to share the gospel, which could change their eternal destiny. It's life-altering. It can take the baggage off of someone that's been carrying it around for all the junk in their life, and they can leave it at the feet of Jesus. They can say, God, here's all my baggage, and Jesus says, here's all my righteousness, and make a fair exchange, and all of a sudden, your life becomes livable again. And you have hope. You got to do it. You got to present this, the start of it, in less than 2 minutes. You four guys in the front row and one lady, come here once. Come up here. David, I want you guys to pass these out. These are my quick ushers. Just give everybody. I want you to take this around like you're taking offering. I want everybody to take one of these little booklets, okay? And we're going to talk about this little booklet the rest of the session. And while they're going around, yeah, pull them apart. This isn't a big deal, guys. Jessica, thank you for straightening that out. I appreciate that. Okay, I want you all to take one of these. What you're doing, and I have one here, right here, right in my wallet. It's been up. It's called Steps to Peace with God, all right? This is probably, I want to tell you a little bit about this. I carry one in my wallet. Most of my life I've carried in my wallet. Got away from it for a couple of years because I forgot about it. But I have used this thing again and again and again. But I want to tell you what, while you're getting that, this is not a track to leave laying the back of the urinal, guys, okay? I hate to see tracks like four spiritual laws on the urinal, all right? It's like, tell me somewhere else, you know? And nothing wrong with the four spiritual laws. They're awesome. But this is a track for you to keep with you and maybe share in certain times. So don't lay these all over the place. I have more of them. They are awesome. But I carry this with me because I am an insecure person when it comes to this, how do I share the gospel with somebody? I get like tongue-tied. I can share here, and not always very good, you know? But you think I get messed up there when I'm with someone and sharing the gospel. So I pull this out of my wallet. If I don't have this in my wallet, I've used this so many times that I'll just flip it over in McDonald's. You're sitting there. I'm studying my Bible at McDonald's or something. And I always did way before I was a pastor would do that. And people would say, what's that? You reading the Bible? Oh, that's all right. I tried reading that once. But did you hear my incoming, right? I tried reading that once. I didn't understand it. I said, well, hey, in 2 minutes, I can tell you what the whole thing says about. So what this is the entire Bible shrunk down into 4 or 5 pages right here, all right? And so when I'm going to share the gospel, you know the Bible tells us to share the gospel. Paul talks about sharing the gospel. What is the gospel? Here's a simple illustration of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Paul says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Listen to this. This is what Paul says is the most important thing to ever pass on. He says, so I'm passing on to you the most important thing, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, and then he raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel message right there. In one verse, that's the gospel message. This is what this has in here. And so I didn't, from here on, I'm not going to read my notes because I just want to, and I didn't even practice this because I wanted to be somewhat real with you guys and stumble through this. So if I'm fortunate, I have this with me. And someone says, you know, here's the gospel message. And did you guys all have enough? Did we have enough? Everybody get some? Good, because I got a bunch more up here. And so what I do, I'll pull this out of my pocket and I'll say, you know, and this is what I did this a couple months ago back in the library room with the lady. I did this in the hospital bed just a couple weeks ago. I did this in my office a couple weeks ago. But I use this regularly because I just like to have a little prompting, all right? When I don't have it, I just draw some of these little things in stick figures. And if I had an overhead, if we were in the dark ages when we had overheads, you know, which are really nice sometimes, I would draw this out for you and you'd say, wow, it's amazing you're even a pastor if that's how you draw. Steps of Peace with God booklet. So when I share with someone, you know what? Someone tells me something like, I am going through life and everything I seem to try fails. How come you're so down? Well, it's just like nothing's working out right. This just happened, that happened. And I think church isn't church about being good and bad. And you know, a lot of people tell me, you know, a lot of people believe it's about, you know, either from, you know, messed up other churches that tell you it's the good or bad that gets you into heaven. So you have a lot of ends with a lot of things like that. And so I'll say, if you give me 2 minutes. See, I used to believe that. Before I was a junior in high school, I used to be in sports and I used to be a lot of stuff. I used to save money. My goodness, I have money saved up and I'd buy something. My 15 cents a week allowance was awesome when it came to buying really cool things. But, you know, I saved up money and I'd buy this car and it would just be like any other car. It would wear out and I tried spending money and nothing really satisfies. So I kind of understand where you're at. Or if you want to know what the church says, you know, you read the Bible, you don't understand it. Can I take a minute? I can tell you. If you let me, I can draw a little illustration for you. If you give me 2 minutes, I can tell you what all the Bible is boiled down to the most important part of the scriptures. And most every time, if we get that far, people say, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing what's happening. This is what's happened a couple times in the last couple months. And if I have this, I would get this out and I'd say, you know, I turn to the first page and I just want to say, I want you to know that no matter what happens to you, God loves you. God loves you. And maybe then I throw in like, but if you can't memorize scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And you know what? I was part of that world and God loved me. And I was kind of lost from God. I didn't know God. A matter of fact, God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I was part of that world that God loves me. But the problem is I was separated from God because sin separates from God. I was a sinner. And, you know, it just wasn't working. I was separated from God. As a matter of fact, if I died when I was way back then, I would spend eternity away from God in the lake of fire. And it's like, man, I don't, you know. And literally, I've done this piles of times, even though I don't sound like it, all right? But I've done this, and I'd say, you know what? It's kind of like God's over here and God's perfect on this side. Look at your page. You can look at your page. It's God's over here, and God's perfect. And God is holy. And the problem is, I was a sinner. Now, no one had to convince me I was a sinner. I got paddled enough. I knew I was a sinner. You know, we believe in corporal punishment. The Bible teaches corporal punishment, but we're not going to go there. But, you know, I'm a sinner, and I was separated from God. And because of that, I would spend eternity separate in hell. You know, I was. And I wanted to go to God, but God is holy. I wanted to have a relationship with God. See, sin came into the world, and when sin in anything breaks a relationship. And I tried to get to God. And matter of fact, the next page, I love this page. This is one of my two favorite pages in here. I was over here, and I was trying to get to God by being good. You know, it's kind of like men are over here, God's over here. There's a chasm in between. How could I? If I was teaching little kids, and I've done this before, I line all the little kids on a line over here, and I say, over here's another line, right over here. And if you can run and jump from that line to here, I'll give you $1,000 if you touch nothing in between and you land on the other side of the line. I'll give you $1,000. And they try like crazy. So maybe I say 10, maybe I say 20, I don't know, but I'd give them 1,000. They can't. See, no matter how good you are, a lot of people think if you're really, really good, God will get to heaven and weigh out the scales, and that's not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's a way, and I think it's in Proverbs, the way that seems right unto man, but the end leads to death. Well, me, I was trying to be good. I was trying to be really moral. I was trying to go to church, and I thought all these things, and if I shared my testimony, if I read my Bible, all these things would get me to God. But the more I tried, the less satisfied I felt. And I remember one time when I was a junior in high school when I felt really empty inside, even though I went to church my whole life, I felt empty. And what I did, I realized that there's nothing I can do to be good enough for God. It says he saved us not because of the righteous things he's done. There's nothing reaches over there. That's all our attempts, but nothing gets us to God. But the really cool news for me is that God made a way for me to get to heaven. Not by me being good, because nothing I tried worked. Not by me being good. God sent his son. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, just by believing in him, not living good and living right, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What I love about when I have these books, I can go to the other verses because I know a lot of them, but I have to look at them first. But God demonstrates his love for us in the while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I can say this, and Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's not that all roads don't lead to heaven. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way. And I say, that's how God made a bridge between, this is like the bridge, God made a bridge between us and him. And I tried to get there on my own, but only Jesus Christ is the way. Now the problem with the cross like there is, well, why is that big hump in the middle of a bridge? You know what I mean? It's like, come on. So I like the two pages before. I like when it's laid across a chasm, and where the page before, you know, it's much easier, but I'm not that good of an artist, all right, at all. So I just draw little steps on the cross, you know, up over the hump of the cross, and it's like, you know, it's just, but there's only one way to get there. No matter how much people try. And I'm already taking longer than 2 minutes, I know that, but I'm trying to teach it too. And God provided a way, and I love these verses. God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no way I could do it on my own. God loves me. God himself, Jesus answered, I am the way. And Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. What God did, basically, when God hung on the cross, he took all my garbage and all my trying to be good and all my the baggage and all my wrongness and all my swearing and all my drinking and all this carousing and all this kind of stuff that people have. And you take some of the things that you did, you might even take some of the things that they did. And God took them and he put it on himself and he paid the eternal penalty for my sins. He paid for my sins. He died in my place. And when he rose again, he offered me absolute forgiveness, free. Didn't even charge me for it. Didn't make me go to church for it. Didn't make me earn brownie points for it. He just says, I'll take your sins. I'll give you forgiveness absolutely free. Jesus paid it. My favorite page right here. This is my favorite page in all these pages. My favorite page. The verses say, and then I probably go to a Christmas present story, you know. If I were to buy you a Christmas present and I had it all wrapped up and I offered it to you, and you looked at it and you said, that's really a cool Christmas present. That is an awesome Christmas present. What's yours? Oh, that is so cool. Thank you so much for that Christmas present. But you never take it. It's there. It's got your name on it. It's ready for you. Jesus died for every single person. And he offers us a free gift of salvation. But if we never take it, it doesn't do us any good. So God did everything he can to give us freedom for our sins and freedom from that bondage. Everything. And he said, here it is. It's absolutely free. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it or anything. But if you never accept it, you spend the eternity separated from God. And I found myself at that point where I don't want to be separated from God. So I accepted that free gift of God, eternal life. And when that happens, I can cross over from here to there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you'll be saved in Romans 10. And the next one is John's, yet to all who received him, to them that believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the whole entire Bible boiled down right there. That's it. That's the whole entire message of the Old and New Testament all together. That's the gospel. And then this is my favorite thing to do. Now, that is all that God requires of me. I don't have to save somebody. I don't get extra credits for saving anybody. That even sounds dumb to say that. I am just expected to share the message and to share it unashamedly and to share the truth without complicating it with all these things I just complicated it with, okay? Just to share it true. But here's the favorite part I like about this, or if I draw it out in a paper, I just draw one cliff and another cliff and I say, I put a little stick figure over here. See, that's me or that's you. And I put a little stick figure over here with a halo around his head. See, that's God, even though I don't think he wears halos. But, you know, here it is around his head. And God is perfect. Men are sinful. And I draw the cross in the middle. And I don't make it 3D and all them different, you know, complicated angles on a cross. I just say, this is where, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I ask for forgiveness. And because of that, I cross over. Whoever believes in him will never perish. And that made me able to stand before God because he took my sins and gave me perfection, even though I don't live perfect. He views me as if I have. And I say, now I got one question to ask you. Are you here or here? And I want to tell you something. That is the quietest moment of that whole entire conversation. Because if they'll listen the whole way through my 2 to 4 minute presentation, okay? I hate to call it a presentation. Of my telling them the truth, if they listen the whole way through that, when they get to this point, do you think that you're here or you're over here? Everyone gets real quiet. And most of the time when I share that, they say, I think I'm over here. I think I'm still separated from God. That is just an awesome moment at that point. Doesn't mean it's going to go farther than that. But that's the honest, and people are so ready to evaluate their life on the truth of the simple scripture. According to God's word, I'm still over here. Or according to God's word, I'm over here. Well, how do you know over here? Because, you know, you're not living perfect, or we wouldn't be talking, you know. Well, because I remember one time I asked Jesus into my life, and I've gone astray from that or whatever. But most people that I talk to will say I'm over here. And then it's really simple for me to go from there, said, do you want to be over here? Or are you comfortable with where you're at? Every once in a while, someone will say, I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I say, that's great. I'm glad. I hope it goes well for you. And a lot of people say, well, I have my own religion. Well, yeah, that talks about over here in this page. There's a way that seems right. But I just wanted to present you. If you want to know what the Bible says, this is the truth. Here, take this along with you. Well, that's too wrinkled. Okay, I'll buy you a new one, all right? But, you know, I've given it to people or whatever. But I love that. And that's all that you're responsible for. That's it. You're not trying to sell. You're not trying to do anything. You're just presenting the truth. And what's really cool, if some people, and I did this in my office back here, I had a lady come to church asking for money one time, asking for some benevolence money, and we sat down in the office, and she said, I don't go to church. I've been to church before, but, you know, I don't really understand all that stuff. And I said, well, you don't understand it all. Oh, man, that's an in, okay? So in 2 or 3 minutes, can I tell you what the Bible says? Just really simple, without like, taking all the big words like, super fragilistic sanctification or something like this, you know. Let me just take them words out. And I didn't have this with me. I'm in church. I didn't have it with me. So I just flipped a piece of paper over and drew it out. And I got done. You here? Or you feel you're here or are you over here? And she said, I'm pretty sure I'm over here. I said, do you want to be over there? Yeah. How do you do that? Oh, I don't remember. No, I turned the next page. Okay. The next page is very simple. It says, that here's what you do. And some people do this by praying. It's just by believing your heart that a man becomes right. Admit that you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from your from your sins. Don't have to turn from your sins. I mean, you don't have to become perfect to be a Christian, but you'd be willing to turn from your sins, believe that Jesus died for you, and through prayer invite him into your life. You don't even have to remember these things. And I said, you can pray now. You can pray at home. I'll send this into my fancy drawing with you or whatever. And she said, I'd like to do that now. And so back there in the room, she just prayed and said, a really simple prayer, just, God, I believe that you died for me. And then I know I messed my life up. I know I'm doing all this. And I really want to be born into your family, reborn into your family. And it's awesome. A couple months ago, sitting in my office, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and the young man comes to church now, about a 30-year-old man, sitting in my office, and really was afraid of different things in his life. And so we went through the gospel. I said, are you here or here? I just put this out of my desk and laid it there. Are you here or here? We went through it. He said, oh, I'm definitely over here, and I want to be over here. Well, you want to do it now? Yes, absolutely. And how do I pray? And he just, the prayer was just incredible. I know you're saying that's a pastor, and obviously, but I'm telling you what, I've done this hundreds of times in my life, and I've done it 200 of times. I haven't done it 200 of times that I should have, okay? But just in the second service, a guy comes that we call him Prospector Ed, stood up, and he stands up once in a while and walks out with a cane, an old guy, and he was just, his life was kind of against Christ for a long, long time in his life. He's 80, or he's 62, 63, 65, I don't know, but he came, yeah, he is really old, and he was here, father of someone in our church, and he was hearing about God. He was coming to a couple of the Bible studies, and then he went into the hospital about 2 months ago, and I went in, and I said, I know your family wants me to tell you this, and can I just tell you really simply what the gospel is? So I got one of these. I got this out of my wallet. I laid it on his bed, and I just went through it with him real quick. I said, are you here or here? He said, I'm over here. I said, you know, it's by believing in his heart the man becomes right with God. And he said, well, I said, do you want to do that now? He said, no, I want to think about it a little bit, because I don't want to just say I believe in my heart when I don't. You know, I got to think about it a little bit. And he's just getting ready to go to transfusion things at dialysis, and he said, I'll look at it when I come back, and I'll really think this over when I come back. I didn't see him when he came back. I hadn't heard anything. That was like a Thursday or something. Sunday morning, I see him out in the parking lot coming to me. He's Bob, look at him. He pulls out his Bible that his daughter and his family gave him. He opens up his Bible, and on his Bible is written, I believe in Jesus Christ on this date. You know, the guys that know him from Bible study and have talked to him since, it's just an amazing change in his life. He died about 3 weeks ago. And just what an amazing event. And I want to tell you what, some people will say, I don't want to hear it. But see, it doesn't matter if they don't want to hear it. It's not that they're rejecting you. Just say, well, take it along with you or not. You know, I've sent these home with a bunch of people. The ones in my, that's how I keep getting new ones so they're not all wrinkled in my wallet. And just, sometimes it's just a piece of paper, and just put the choice, what they choose, isn't up to you. It's just that you've got to this point. And what is so cool about this? I don't have to think, oh, now what's that verse? What's that verse? I don't know. I can lay it on the table. I can look at it. You know, I can say, and the Bible also says that for all sin to come short of the glory of God, you know? And, or I can just send it home with them. But I'll tell you what, I just want to take the fear that every single one of us faces is, I'm not like a pastor. I did this way before I was a pastor. I've done it piles of times. And I've been rejected sometimes, but no one's ever got on my case. No one's ever shot me or kicked me or beat me up, which would have been awesome, because I'd love to have that in my testimony. And I don't know whether people ever accepted Christ or not, but I know quite a few of them that did. And sometimes I don't even draw it. I can just speak it out. So that's why I want you to become, for the next 2 weeks, please become familiar with this for your own good. Because when, and you don't have to share this, just, this is just a tool to just clear up our mind. It's kind of like, I told the first service, it's kind of like take a shot of whiskey. Takes the edge off. I know, and some people are going, I can't believe my pastor said that. And some of you guys are saying, yeah, I can relate. But when you're put in the situation where you need to share the gospel, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't know what to do, pull something like this out, or just commit this to memory, and you say, well, I can tell you what the Bible says. I can't change your life. I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that God loves you. The Bible says that I'm a sinner, and I was separated from God. And when I was a junior in high school, or whatever age you were, I believe, I remembered that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross to offer me a free gift. I think that you see, it's just John 3:16, something or other, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, and when I was a junior in high school, I believed in God, and I crossed over from death to life, and now I know I'm going to spend eternity with God. And you can just say it, you know? You can draw it out. You can draw. I did it in the dirt one time for somebody. You know, that sounds really dumb, but it sounded spiritual because Jesus did that once. He drew in the dirt. So I thought, oh, I can do that. I don't think he got saved. And it doesn't matter. The point is, I did what God asked me to do. I looked for an opportunity. This is the meat of the scripture. Not this booklet from the Billy Graham Association, although what a great man and what a great association to get this from. I got more of them, but just... it's truth. You don't have to use this. You can use this four spiritual laws because some generation likes the four spiritual laws. Me, I was too much of a rebel to like the four spiritual laws. I like to drive 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Never in Pine Grove, though. So don't worry about that, all right? Because there's signs around saying I'm not allowed to do that. But get to know truth. I just want you to understand it's simple. Did this way before I was a pastor. I've chickened out so many times, but I've also crossed that line enough times to know that see God work in that. Way less people come to know Jesus Christ than you might think. The thing is, God says, Bob, thank you. I know you're not just singing that song. I know you're believing it. And shame on me for when I chicken out, but don't be afraid to present the truth. All right? Don't be... I didn't pants these out so you could lay them all over the world, okay? I think this does way better. The truth of the gospel does way better when it comes from a life of somebody that cares about people. Now, it is the word of God, right? And the word of God and your testimony will never return void. Ooh, King Jamesy. Empty. Void is how I would say it, all right? Just, it never comes back empty. Always best to cross that line and stumble through it. Because Pastor Ronnie reminded us before church in our little meeting with everybody that's serving today, he reminded us of the verse that said, not by might, nor by power, not by smarts, nor by knowledge, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will take your words and will make something amazing out of it. Please put that into memory, into your wallet, into your pocketbook, and try it. Try it. Just for the fun of it. And just because you care about people. Lord Jesus, you're an amazing God. Thank you that you weren't ashamed of me. And Lord, I am so sorry for the times that even now when I'm ashamed of you, because I am certainly not doing this right all the time. But this is just one little tool out of many, many tools. But Lord God, we are your instruments. Speak through our mouth. And when we cross that line, it's not by strength. It's not by our power. It's by your spirit. And I pray that we might speak your words. Please use us. You're an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we got to the meat of witnessing, but we're not done yet. Now we got to the peak. Now we're going to come back down the other sides with a bunch of leftover thoughts, and I think they will be helpful. Thank you. Please do this. This is awesome. And we do need to clean up the chairs, except for these front two rows. Thank you. Doesn't leave you out of the... Still got a house. See you guys.